right. Let's see. Do that. All right, Psalm chapter 21 this evening. Psalm 21. So this one seems like it's written about the time David gets the answer about building a house and for the Lord, and he gets that answer in 2 Samuel 7. And so it looks like he writes this, but it is definitely David's personal experience, but also it's got a lot of messianic tones in it. But I want to point you to verse 7, because this is kind of the theme, as we've said several times. The first 41 chapters of Psalms deal over and over with trusting the Lord, and that's the relationship. So that's the relationship David talks about over and over in these Psalms. And this one just deals with the benefits that David has experienced from trusting the Lord. Not that his life has been particularly easy or anything like that, but he's had some benefits of trusting the Lord in his life, and makes those things known here. But Psalm 21, let's pray first. We'll read the psalm, and then we'll talk about it here. Just a few points out of it, not a whole lot. But we'll talk about the practical experiences of David and then how this relates to Jesus Christ, because it does. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for everybody that's here this evening, and then for us traveling tomorrow. I pray that you'd give us safety going up to Fort Worth, and then I pray give us safety coming back. And then for, folks that are sick, that you'd heal up their bodies, help them. And anybody else that's traveling, give them safety, get them home safe. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's read this psalm. It's not particularly long. We'll read it and then kind of divide it up in the way it's divided up here. But Psalm 21 says, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice! Thou hast given him his heart's desire." That kind of sounds like when David got the answer in 2 Samuel 7 about the house of the Lord. And it, interestingly enough, it wasn't exactly what David was looking for, but it is actually better than what David was looking for. It says, "Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and is not withholding the request of his lips, Selah. For thou preventest him," that means he went before him, "with blessings of goodness, and thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. And he asked for life, he asked life of thee, and thou gavest it to him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation, honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him most blessed forever, thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thy hand shall find out all thine enemies, thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. And thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger, and the Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour him. And their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee, they imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, and so will we sing and praise thy power." So this is, it's got some rough stuff at the end, and then some thanksgiving, some praise to the Lord. So this is David's, again, David's practical experience with his relationship to the Lord. He's trusted the Lord. He's conducted himself and his life according to the precepts and the doctrines of God. And so David has benefited from trusting the Lord, and this is how he's benefited. It's kind of three things. We'll break it up into this psalm, kind of breaks down three parts. And the first one is about just the first couple verses, how David found joy in the Lord's salvation. I'm just going to give you David's practical experience first, and then as we read through this, you could probably pick up on a lot of the messianic tones that appear in here. But the first two verses, David finds his joy in the Lord's salvation, and that means deliverance. He's been delivered over and over by the Lord from his enemies. He is now in Jerusalem, and the whole nation is general has accepted him as their king. He's moved the capital to Jerusalem. He wants to build the Lord's house. The Lord's given him some answers about that in 2 Samuel 7. And so this deliverance he's experienced from the Lord is his source of rejoicing. It's the salvation of the Lord. And a lot of times you'll see this. Salvation doesn't always mean from fiery hell or anything like that. Sometimes it means it's just physical salvation. Sometimes it's things like that. And so David has experienced the physical salvation of the Lord, the deliverance from people that have been after him and harassed him and accused him and things like that for a lot of his life. And so he's experienced that. He's even experienced deliverance from his own messes that he's made. He's experienced some sort of deliverance. I would say some of the things that he did, he never got completely away from. They did affect his family and things like that, but he himself is... He wasn't killed in the process of it, but he's been delivered. So he finds joy in the Lord's salvation. The Lord is the deliverer, and that's again, one of these things that shows up over and over throughout the Bible. The Lord's the deliverer. He's the one that brings life and gives life to people. He is the one that provides protection and help and things like that, and so... David rejoices in that, and this has been David's chief desire. Verse 2, thou hast given him his heart's desire. It's not withholding the request of his lips. That, I would say, relates to the request about building the Lord's house and things like that. And so David is rejoicing. I mean, I don't know what else to say about the rejoicing, but that is something to think about with maybe your own relationship with the Lord. This is the source of this man's rejoicing. This is where he is so attached to the Lord in this way and so moved by what the Lord's done in his life that he writes about it. He wants the nation of Israel to sing about it. He wants everyone to know about it. And so I always, when I go through Psalms, I'm comparing the things that guys like David find the most, the sources of joy. Is that relatable to me? Do I find the same sources of joy? And so it's a good way to examine my own Christianity, and that's a good way for you to examine yours. And so, because these Psalms are, therefore, are learning and admonition and things like that. And so David, this is his source of joy, that what the Lord has done in his life and rescued him from. This is so meaningful to him, and so it's something that the Lord says this it ought to be meaningful. It should be meaningful. So that's verses 1 and 2. Then you go through verses 3 through 7, kind of a different section here. David knows he's been greatly honored by the Lord because of his trust. This is the relationship he has with the Lord, with God. The God of Israel is his trust for the Lord, his trust in the Lord. And so that's yielded several benefits in his life. One of them you guys know the famous verse. I mean, David is a man after God's own heart, and this is what the Lord said: I'm going to find a man after my own heart to put on a throne, put on this throne here. I'm done with Saul. You guys wanted a throne. I don't really want a throne yet, but you guys wanted it. I protested through Samuel, but you wouldn't listen, so I put a throne in the midst of your kingdom, and the guy that you wanted on it, I don't want on it. And so I'm going to find a man that after my heart. And he finds David. And so David is put on a throne. He's given a crown. And he knows it. He knows this is why he is where he is in life. This he is who he is in life. This is all a result of his relationship to the Lord. And so David's way was paved with goodness. In verse 3, thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. That's just going before him. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee. Thou gavest it even length of days forever and ever. That's in David's life. That is, it's first off, it is that the seed would come out of him. Second off, it deals with resurrection. And third, it's going to have an application in Jesus Christ. And so all that's going to be in here. So David, he's been greatly honored by the Lord. The Lord's been good to him. The Lord's given him life. The Lord has given him honor. He's crowned him with a crown. He has made David who he is. Verse 6, thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. And when you read this, one thing you might notice is David's talking about his personal experiences, but he seems to be talking in the third person, like this king and this king and this. He's done these things. And it's like he's providing a voice for the nation to talk about the king. And so he's kind of doing that, giving the voice to the nation. So he says, verse 7, this is why this all happens. The king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. So this is what keeps him grounded. This is what keeps him his footing on a solid foundation. And so the Lord's mercy does that, but the way that David is connected to the Lord's mercy is through his trust. He's followed the Lord's light. He's followed the Lord's instruction. And so for the most part, he's done that in his life. And so this is how it's turned out for him. And so David knows he's been greatly honored by the Lord because he trusted in the Lord. But he also knows that not everybody gets those benefits. Not everybody is a part of that. And not everybody in his nation, all the Israelites are a part of this salvation. Not all the Israelites, in fact, a lot of them turn on David and they're against David and they fight against David. And so David deals with enemies. He talks about in verse 11, they've imagined this mischievous device, which that happens multiple times in his life. Even happens with his own son, Absalom, who tries to overthrow David and actually kill David, which is a horrible family situation. And so David talks about how the Lord is going to root out his enemies. He's going to find his enemies. He is going to deal with his enemies. And these are the people who are the target of the Lord, not the people that trust God. Those people aren't the target of the Lord. The people that are devising wickedness, the people that hate the Lord, and really what it is in David's life is they hate what David represents. And so we'll talk about that in just a second. But this is, David gets pretty harsh, and you'll find a lot of these things that are said that kind of get carried over into the New Testament. Paul's going to pick up on some of this stuff and say some similar things, like in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 about the fiery indignation of the Lord and things like that. And so the enemies of God don't fare very well against the Lord, to say the least. And David understands that he's on the right side of this. He is the recipient of God's blessings. He's not the target of God's wrath. And again, God doesn't target people because he's just mean. It's the way you would want to get out corruption and get bad things out of your family and out of your life. It's like you just have to remove the stuff. And so this is what the Lord does, that the stuff inevitably is attached to people, and it's problematic. So the Lord targets this stuff and gets it out, and David is on the right side of it, but these folks that are against him are not. The Lord's going to do a thorough job of getting rid of evil and wickedness. He talks about it in verse 10, "Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, their seed from among the children of men, for they intended evil against thee, and they imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform." So that's kind of the layout of this whole psalm. This is, you got kind of 3 points: David's joy, David understands his relationship, his trust has yielded many benefits, and then David's enemies are really God's enemies, and so the Lord's going to deal with those folks in time. So that's sort of the breakdown of it. But I want you to notice verse 11, David says something, and this is where it's really clearly messianic. And even Jewish commentators understand, most of them seem to understand, this is a messianic psalm. And so David says, "They intended evil against thee." Sounds like it's talking about the Lord. And what he means is, David represents the Lord in Israel. He's not the Lord, but he represents him. And the reason people hate David is not because they hate his personality, or at least certain people. It's not because they hate David as a man per se. What they really hate, and what people really hate, is what David represents. And David represents the Lord, and so therefore, this is why this psalm is messianic, because all of these things, David is carrying around the Spirit of Christ in the same way Moses did, in the same way the prophets did. He has the Spirit of Christ in him, and people don't hate David because his name is David or because he is who he is. They hate David because of what he represents. And so, that being said, he is the vessel for the Spirit of Christ. And so all of these things obviously will become in full fruition in Jesus Christ. And you'll notice a lot of these things that are said, like the length of days, things like that. He asked, "Life of thee, thou gavest him length of days forever and ever." Sounds like eternal life. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. This is verses 4 and 5 and 6 here. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. The king trusteth in the Lord. Through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. So on and so forth. And then you get to the part where the enemies are the target of the Lord, of really the Father. And they're targeted in this fiery destruction. Paul would say it this way in 2 Thessalonians, essentially, that everyone that rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ, these people become the targets of God's wrath, and it's a horrible, terrible thing. But this language is used in the New Testament as well. And it's not because David is, again, David is David, it's because of what David represents. Just like it's what Moses represents to the nations, just like what the prophets represent to the people. It's not because a prophet like Hosea or Amos is who they are, it's because of who they speak for. And this is why Jerusalem killed the prophets, and Jesus Christ would say that over and over. He said, "You killed the prophets, not because of who they were, but because of what they represented." And so David here, he's sort of this vessel for the Spirit of Christ, and he talks about it, and he details the blessings that come on him because of this, and then the God's protection because of this, and then how God deals with the enemies. And the enemies are they imagined mischievous things, according to verse 11, and this mischievous device and all that, because they're actually trying to overthrow God's will in the nation and then among the people. So David, and you're going to find out these Psalms going from here to 23 is going to be really good, 24, but the next Psalm for sure is going to be really heavily messianic. There's so much, and I'm probably going to reiterate this, but these things are personal experiences with David, when David writes. But David represents a God that is much bigger than him, and this is why the blessings come on David's life. But this is also why the opposition comes to David. And so David becomes this foreshadowing of Christ, and therefore what he says is messianic. It's just going to be messianic because of what he represents. So that said, it's a pretty simple psalm. It's rejoicing. It's understanding his relationship to God is his trust, and is born out in this fruit that's been born in his life. But it's also been the source of opposition in his life, but the Lord takes care of the opposition in his life as well. So once again here, David explains his benefits that he's experienced in trusting the Lord, and he points to that over and over, and I want y'all to get that. He points to that over and over. The idea that trusting the Lord, or by grace through faith, is not a Pauline idea. This is something that goes through the whole Bible. This is something that you'll see over and over in the Psalms, that trusting the Lord and faithfulness and faith in the Lord is what God has been after forever. It's not a new thing. Now, in the new covenant, it becomes this is the basis now. The old covenant doesn't have this as a basis. The old covenant, it's based on who you're related to. And so that's not going to last long. And so this trust, this is the thing. This is the thing that God's after. And this is the thing. David understands that. He gets it. His theology is right in all of this. So he finds joy in the Lord's salvation. He knows he's been greatly honored by the Lord because of his trust. And he knows the Lord will deal, unfortunately, very harshly with his enemies. It's not because they're his enemies, but because of who he represents. These people are after really the Lord. They're not after David per se, but they're after the Lord. And so that said, that's Psalm 21, and just pretty simple thing there. But I hope that's helpful to understand this. Psalm 22 is going to be really, really good. But you see a lot of messianic things going on here because of who David stands for in his life. And so let's pray, and we'll take some prayer requests. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for everybody that's here. Again, I pray you give us safety as we travel up, and I go up to Fort Worth and come back with my parents. And I pray that you would just give us safety as we do all that. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for your provisions in Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.